Hello there everyone, hope you're doing well. I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 16th of March, 2022.
Hello and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've installed the Talking Newspaper's skill, all you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Liz. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Anne, Simon, Helen, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Mina, Ian, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the weekly quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, news about RNIB's See Sport Differently campaign, we have another edition of Sounds of Nature, information about Wolverhampton Skills Connect project, and rounding all that off with a piece about St Patrick's Day. We start, however, with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. Now we have our first local news section, brought to us by Christine, Ed, Angela, Ian, and first up, we hear from Liz.
Councils in the Black Country say they are following advice and are remaining vigilant as the UK braces for cyber attacks from Russia. Guidance from the National Cyber Security Centre, NCSC, part of Government Communications Headquarters, GCHQ, states organisations should follow the advice for when the cyber threat is heightened in light of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. The NCSC says while it is not aware of any current specific threats to UK organisations in relation to events in and around Ukraine, there has been an historical pattern of cyber attacks on Ukraine with international consequences. Wolverhampton Council says it takes cyber security very seriously, and as a result of the situation in Ukraine, the authorities' digital and IT services had stepped up preparations for attacks on public bodies. A council spokesperson said, "We constantly monitor the changing cyber threat landscape and follow NCSC best practice. We have invested in our cyber security to ensure our systems are strong." Wolverhampton Council has received Cyber Essentials Plus accreditation, providing external validation of our work, and has recently been awarded a £10,000 grant by the Local Government Association to further invest in cyber security. Dudley Council confirmed that it has multi-layered technical defences in place and a robust programme of staff cyber awareness. Councillor Sean Kesey, the Council's Cabinet Member for Digital, Customer and Commercial Services, added, "We are aware of potential cyber threats and are operating at a heightened state of awareness as a result of the ongoing situation. The guidelines from the NCSC recommend ensuring desktops, laptops and mobile devices as well as firmware are all patched, meaning updated to remove flaws in operating systems and programs. Other advice is to ask staff to ensure that their passwords are unique to work systems and are not shared across other non-business systems, and remove any old or unused accounts."
Council tax in Dudley is going to go up by 2.99% this year after the borough's new budget was approved. It was decided to increase council tax by 2.99%, meaning people living in Band D houses will pay a total of £1,493.87 each year. The rise includes 1.99% for basic tax and 1% for social care. The report read, "The local government finance settlement included council tax referendum principles for 2022-23 of a core limit of less than 2%, plus an adult social care ASC precept limit of 1%. Forecasts in this report are based on a 2.99% council tax increase in 2022-23 and assume the same in later years. Budgets for different areas of council spending are also agreed in the report, including £111.9 million for adult social care, £80.1 million for children's services, and £9.9 million for corporate and treasury, and £11.5 million for regeneration and enterprise. The final budget was criticised by the opposition Labour group, who accused the council of robbing the people of Dudley of £11 million investment in frontline services. Dudley Labour finance spokesperson Councillor Shakat Ali put forward an amendment to the budget at which he claimed the Conservative councillors had voted unanimously against the amendment in favour of investing more money in policy officers, web designers and back office administration. He said this fully costed budget from the Labour Party identified more money for a community support officer in each ward to help tackle crime and antisocial behaviour and further money to support people with long COVID. It also pledged additional money to help support families who need additional support to return home after a hospital stay. However, the Tories have rejected these proposals, turned their backs on residents and instead have opted for a budget that serves only themselves. This Conservative council is spending £15 million a year on temporary agency and consultancy staff, whilst vital services are being cut, and it is the local residents who will lose out.
Revised opening hours are now in operation at the Rapid COVID-19 Test Centre at Wolverhampton Civic Centre. People without symptoms can visit the centre for free testing from 8am to 3pm Monday to Fridays. Rapid testing is also available at the Jamia Masjid Bilal in Newhampton Road, Whitmore Reans, from 10am to 7pm. No appointments are necessary at these centres. Home rapid test kits are available from a number of locations, including WV Active Leisure Centres and Wolverhampton, Bilston and Wensfield Markets. They can also be ordered online at gov.uk/order-coronavirus-rapid-lateral-flow-tests. The PCR test centre outside Whitmore Reans Library is now closed, but the library itself will remain open. PCR testing for people with symptoms of COVID-19 will remain available at the other test sites, Shoal Road, Falkland Street Car Park and Blakenhall Resource Centre in Wolverhampton, Priory Green in Penderford and the Railway Street Car Park in Bilston. Wolverhampton's Public Health Director, John Denley, said testing remains a vital tool in the fight against COVID-19 and we encourage people to get tested regularly. Testing is available without an appointment at the Civic Centre and the Jamia Masjid Bilal, or you can pick up a test kit to use at home. Residents with symptoms must stay at home and book a PCR test online at gov.uk/get-coronavirus-test or phone 119.
Dudley Council is changing transport arrangements for older children with special educational needs and disabilities. The authority is reviewing how children under statutory school age and those entering further education settings with special educational needs and disabilities will receive support with education transport. The proposal does not affect children and young people without special educational needs and disabilities or those of statutory school age. Councillor Ruth Buttery, Cabinet Member for Children and Young People, said, "A key part of our special educational needs and disabilities strategy is about supporting young people to develop the confidence and independence they will need as they become adults. We are asking for feedback on our school transport proposals, which will enable us to retain transport support for eligible children within statutory school age and our most vulnerable children with special educational needs and disabilities, while putting training in place for those who are ready to take their next steps. She added, parents of children with special educational needs and disabilities who currently have transport arrangements in place and continue in their current setting can be reassured that these will not be affected by the proposals. The consultation process will welcome feedback from young people, parents, carers and educational settings over the next 90 days, with a mixture of online sessions and face-to-face meetings set to take place across the borough over the course of the consultation period. People can read the consultation document and are invited to take part in the consultation online, or printed versions are available in 5 different languages and a read-easy format. These can be collected from the Council House, Priory Road, DY1 1HF, or by calling 01384 814 200.
A new fully automated parcel sorting machine, which can process 157,000 parcels per day, has been installed in a Royal Mail Centre in Wolverhampton. The machine has been built by automated technology company Solistic and uses a system of conveyor belts and scanning technology to sort parcels. It has been installed at the North West Midlands Mail Centre, based on Sun Street behind the railway station, as part of a multi-million pound move to speed up the process. The machine can process up to 7,500 parcels per hour to delivery offices across the Midlands and the rest of the UK, and can handle a variety of parcel shapes and sizes up to 20 kilos. Sarah Coulson, Parcels Automation Programme Director at Royal Mail, said, "We are transforming the way Royal Mail processes parcels given the rapid growth in online shopping in recent years. Our investment in state-of-the-art parcel sorting machines will help us better meet the growing demands of our customers in the Midlands and the rest of the UK, and is a vital part of the ongoing reinvention of Royal Mail." Parcel chiefs say the move will replace the manual sorting processes that can be both time-consuming and physically demanding, and help the company meet the surge in demand caused by online shopping. Maurizio Pupo, Director of Strategy and Business Development from Solistic, said, "We are delighted to be part of this important initiative with Royal Mail. Our parcel sorting machines will help Royal Mail quickly and effectively sort the increasing number of parcels that are being posted across its network thanks to the growth in e-commerce. We look forward to supporting Royal Mail with this new technology."
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen, back with all things Beacon for another week. How are things with you? I really do hope all is okay. Now this week I am not sure where spring is yet. I mean, I've still got my winter coat on. But I am hoping, praying, keeping everything crossed that it will make a proper appearance soon. In the meantime, I'm trying to make the most of a first sign of a new season, such as the smell of fresh flowers in our garden. Sometimes it's the small things like that that I think can really brighten your day. Now, on with everything Beacon. You may know that it's recently been Glaucoma Awareness Week. It's a condition that affects many of our members, including Rosemary, who's one of thousands of people living with glaucoma in the UK right now. It's caused when the optic nerve is damaged due to fluid pressure inside your eyes. But when you're first diagnosed, you may have no idea what it means for you or your vision. We spoke to her ahead of a National Awareness Raising Week, and she told us that when she was diagnosed, she didn't really know what to expect, as no one explained it to her. And she also said that when she was first referred to Beacon, she never expected to fully lose her sight. And I can imagine that that's something a lot of you listening at home can relate to. However, like Rosemary, whatever stage you are in your sight loss journey, you don't have to face it alone. Beacon's always here to help. Call us on 01902 880 111, or if you already use our services, just mention it to a member of staff if you feel there's another way we can support you. Next, you've probably heard a lot on the news at the moment about the cost of living crisis. It's something that's worrying for us all, but particularly when you've got a disability, as there are just some costs associated with that that are just out of your control. One way that you can help cut costs is by shopping in our retail stores. In our shops, you can give your wardrobe a new look for just a few pounds. And if you head to our clearance centre in Wolverhampton, you can pick up a piece of furniture from as little as a tenner, making it an easy way to keep your costs down when bills are going up. You'll even be doing your bit for good cause, as all our sales help us support someone with sight loss. Regular listeners will know just how much I love the Beacon shops. This week, I treated myself to a new spring jacket and an exercise top, and I even picked up a smart new shirt for my husband. It's well worth a visit, and our staff will be able to help you with any issues that can arise when shopping due to your sight loss. Now, you may remember me telling you recently a little bit about our family fun colour run. Well, there's now less than 3 weeks to go. It is a great way to kickstart spring with a blast of colour. The event's going to be held at Wolverhampton's East Park on April the 3rd. Tickets are £5 for children, £8 for running club members and £10 for adults. It'll be the most fun you've had on a run. If anyone who signs up, they'll be helping us to support people with sight loss as well. If you or someone you know would like to get involved, then here's how to do so. You can head to our website, that's www.beaconvision.org/colour-run. That's www.beaconvision.org/colour-run. Alternatively, you can give us a call on 01902 880111. That's 01902 880111. That's it for this week. I'll be back to catch up with you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that update, Helen. Up now, it's another block of local news. And the first voice you'll hear, it's Christine.
Visitors to some patients at New Cross Hospital have been told they can only see their loved ones once a week and have to book 24 hours ahead. However, relatives claim getting through to the Wolverhampton Hospital on the phone is almost impossible. Mike Beddoes said after the 2 years of almost no visitors being allowed, he was shocked to be told he could not see his mother for regular visits. He said, "We were told the rules had changed and I could only see her once a week, and I would have to book an appointment 24 hours before, which might work in theory, but they never answer the phone, so it's impossible to see Mum." Bosses at the Wolverhampton NHS Trust said visiting restrictions for all patients are being regularly reviewed in line with COVID restrictions lifting in the UK. However, they stressed purposeful visits to support a patient receiving end-of-life care or to support someone with dementia, a learning disability or autism continue. Mr. Beddoes' mother, Elsie, 83, has fluid on the lungs and has been in hospital for over a week now. He said she wants to return home as she feels isolated. "I feel awful knowing she's in there alone. We were not given a reason, just that the rules were changed on Monday." Another relative of a patient in New Cross is frustrated they have not been able to visit. The man, who did not want to be named, said, "I work during the day and just cannot get through on the phone to book a visit. I know when I do finally get to see my dad, he will not believe I even tried." Anne-Marie Canaby, the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust's chief nurse, said, "Healthcare settings support many vulnerable people, which is why we are still doing all we can to keep patients and staff as safe as possible, and we want to thank the public for helping us to do so."
Two pieces of Greenbelt land in Dudley will be removed from a document setting out plans for thousands of homes to meet demand, council bosses have said. Dudley Council's planners are working on the borough's contribution to the 76,076 homes and employment land needed under the Black Country Plan. The homes and 565 hectares of land for employment uses are needed in the Black Country by 2039, with many greenbelt sites targeted for housing. But now council chiefs have announced two sites, grazing land at Wollaston Farm and land at Guys Lane, Lower Gornal, will be removed from the plan. Action has been taken immediately due to the sites being on council-owned land, but bosses have said other protected sites will continue to be reviewed. It means major proposals for 533 homes at the Triangle, Swindon Road, and 330 homes off Holbeach Lane, both in King's Winford, remain in the plan. Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of Dudley Council, said, "We have made it very clear that we are listening to local people and acting on the concerns they raised. We have received clear feedback from Dudley residents and we are already taking action where we can. As these sites are on council land, we have been able to pull them from the next version of the plan and will await further evidence through ongoing work on the other sites before making a determination on their removal or retention from the plan. We have to make sure this plan is led by local people, and that is exactly what we're doing." Dudley's contribution to the draft proposals is for 13,235 new homes and 22 hectares of employment land overall, including brownfield sites.
A Wolverhampton business was given a £50,000 coronavirus loan by the government, despite having a turnover of just £2,000, after its owner lied about its size. Inderjit Singh Dadal of soft drink company Kali Juices has now been banned from running a business for 9 years. The 32-year-old was the sole director of the business, which was incorporated in 2019, with its registered address first in Warstones Road in the Penn area of Wolverhampton, before it changed to Dudley Road. In June 2020, Dadal successfully applied for £50,000 through the Bounce Back Loan Scheme, the maximum amount available through the government initiative, which was exploited by fraudsters across the country. In order to claim the £50,000, Dadal said his company had turned over £250,000 when the true figure in accounts ending in January 2020 was just over £2,000, the insolvency service found. Dadal was listed as the only employee of the company, which is now registered in Droitwich. He was granted the loan, guaranteed by the government and interest-free for the first 12 months, despite not actually being eligible for any money based on the company's real accounts and the income in its bank accounts. Dadal has now admitted grossly inflating the company's turnover to secure the bounce-back loan and has been banned from running a company for 9 years, from March the 21st. The disqualification prevents him from directly or indirectly becoming involved in the promotion, formation or management of a company without the permission of the court. It comes 2 months after the Treasury confirmed that it wrote off £4.3 billion worth of the £5.8 billion of fraud witnessed across its COVID business loan schemes. Former Treasury Minister Lord Agnew resigned from his role in January in anger over the handling of fraudulent coronavirus loans and has since slammed the Treasury's anti-fraud efforts as a Dad's Army operation.
An extra £2 million will be spent tackling potholes on Dudley's roads. The investment in the highways budget has been approved, which will help crews tackle more defects on residential roads. The council inspects and repairs hundreds of miles of roads every year. It also responds to reports of potholes made by the public via the website. More than 57,834 square metres of roads have been repaired so far this financial year, thanks to an extra £1 million in the council's budget at the start of the year. This is compared to the 9,957 square metres of repairs the previous financial year. The post-April spend, approved by full council, will inject £1 million in the next financial year, with £500,000 to be set aside for each of the two subsequent years. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Public Realm, said, "We have showed what the extra investment in our highways budget can achieve with a massive increase in the number of defects we have managed to repair this year. I am delighted the latest spending pledge has been approved, which means even more money into the budget and the potential to tackle more defects on residential roads. Residents have told us that this is important to them and we have listened. The total budget for highways will be £8.2 million. People can report potholes via the council's website at dudley.gov.uk or by calling Dudley Council Plus on 0300 555 2345.
Labour's Wolverhampton South East MP Pat McFadden has been re-selected as the parliamentary candidate for the next election. In a social media post, he said he was honoured to have been re-selected by all branches of Wolverhampton South East constituency Labour Party, as well as unions and other affiliated organisations. Mr McFadden, who also serves as Shadow Chief Secretary to the Treasury, has been the MP for Wolverhampton South East since 2005. He wrote on Facebook, "I am honoured to have been re-selected as the parliamentary candidate for the next election by all branches of Wolverhampton South East constituency Labour Party, as well as the unions and other affiliated organisations. Thank you to everyone who took part in the re-selection process."
Up now, it's time for your weekly mental workout, as we have the quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's spring-themed flashback quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. What is the other name for the spring equinox? Question 2. Around what date is the spring equinox each year? Question 3. What do some organisations uphold on the 20th of March? Question 4. According to folklore, what animals appear in the rhyme about March? Question 5. What did the Romans call spring? And finally, question 6. What is it said that cows don't like? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Thank you very much for those, Mina. I'll of course give those a ponder. But up now, we're going to some more local news. And starting this one off for us, we first hear from Angela.
A former primary school building in Wolverhampton that dates back to 1910 is facing the bulldozer if recently submitted plans get the go-ahead. The historic Edward the Elder building in Lichfield Road, Wensfield, has stood empty and almost forgotten since 2007. Now, Birmingham-based developers Tilbury Douglas Construction Limited have submitted a prior notification of demolition to the council with a view to razing the premises, one of the city's oldest remaining school buildings, and building a modern technology academy in its place. Tally Clark said, "I attended this school when it was called Wensfield Village Primary School, as did all four of my siblings. I'm now 35. It was my school experience here that led me to want to teach. The teachers made a long-lasting impression. They really inspired me and taught me how to play a vital role in a child's life. I currently work in a school myself and have worked in early years education for 15 years now. I believe the planned academy will serve Wensfield well and will bring valuable, excellent education to children in the area. The village is lacking in schools for those living nearby. It was very disheartening seeing the building close and the community growing," she added. "I understand the building dates back to 1910. However, it has been left to decay and open to vandalism. If the demolition plans are given full clearance, the new school is scheduled to be ready for occupation in September 2023.
The government has given Dudley Council £120,000 to design a lie fit for the 21st century. The council successfully bid for money from the Design Code Pathfinder programme, which is run by the Department for Levelling Up, Housing and Communities. The money to create a new vision for the town, which will steer new development to create high quality public spaces, community areas and homes, which integrate with the surroundings and the River Stour. Councillor Simon Phipps, Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "Lye is long overdue investment and redevelopment. We know the town has potential and the fact we've been selected as part of the Design Code programme reinforces that. We now need to harness that potential along with the enthusiasm of local people to create the vision for Lye that we want for future generations. He added, the design code will guide future investments and make sure every development and opportunity are right for the town. Key to the success of the design code is the input from the local community. It will focus on key development sites and opportunities to support the future growth and development of the town. The new vision will recognise Lye's proud industrial past and will look at how future developments could repurpose historic buildings and utilise existing brownfield sites. Local people and businesses will be asked to play an integral part in the development of the design code.
An office block in Wolverhampton city centre has been sold in a deal worth £2.8 million. The six-storey and 42,000 square foot Waterloo Court building has been bought by a private investor. The building is on the corner of Waterloo Road and the city's Ring Road, a few hundred metres from Molyneux. It is currently 80% let, with tenants including Capital Professional, the Leonard Cheshire Charity and the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, producing £296,322 annual rent. James Mattin, Managing Director at Estate Agents Bond Wharf, who sold the building, said the private investor planned to drive the occupancy further and re-gear a number of existing leases. Having managed this asset for a number of years, we have seen Waterloo Court perform well both during the post-2008 credit crunch and throughout the recent pandemic and the uncertainty created by Brexit, so it is no wonder that there was a willing buyer. Anchored by some solid long-term tenants, Waterloo Court is centrally located with good access to local amenities and transport links, which ticks a lot of boxes for tenants in the current climate, he added.
More CCTV cameras will be rolled out across the Dudley Borough after an almost £1 million cash injection into the scheme was rubber-stamped. Dudley Council will plough an extra £320,000 a year for the next 3 years to pay for more cameras and increased staff for the control room. The move comes after a £1.7 million overhaul of the cameras has taken place over the last 2 years to replace ageing and outdated units in the area. Councillor Laura Taylor-Childs, Cabinet Member responsible for CCTV, said, "This is the biggest investment in CCTV in a generation and is already yielding excellent results. This latest investment will allow us to build on the success we have already had by covering more of the borough and making people feel safe wherever they are. People have told us this is important to them and we have listened. New cameras have been placed in town centres and key locations across the borough. There are now more than 450 images being beamed into a dedicated control room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
A £65 million plan to build 366 luxury homes on derelict former industrial canal side land in Wolverhampton will be among the UK's first low-carbon neighbourhoods. The site at Lower Horsley Fields forms phase one of the new Canalside South project, restoring a series of empty factory units where the Worley and Essington Canal meets the Birmingham Canal Navigation's main line. Stretching over 5 acres of brownfield land just outside the city centre, the completed development will consist of a mixture of 1,200 new townhouses and apartments, forming a self-contained village. The West Midlands Combined Authority, WMCA, has unveiled a region-wide programme to build a series of net-zero neighbourhoods, utilising cycle paths, green spaces, better insulation and the use of LED lighting and solar panels. As part of the work, a 6-mile stretch of Wolverhampton's canals has been fitted with 1,000 solar-powered lights to enable walkers and cyclists to navigate the towpath safely after dark. The sunlight-powered lights, which light up after dusk, were installed 10 metres apart and run all the way along the Birmingham Main Line Canal from Coseley to the bottom of the Wolverhampton Lock Flight. They then stretch all the way along the Worley and Essington Canal from Wolverhampton Railway Station to Bentley Bridge Retail Park at Wensfield. A spokesman for Wolverhampton Council said, "The canal network and towpaths play an important role in facilitating a more accessible city centre by providing a motor vehicle-free environment in which to travel, so widening travel choices for cycling and walking."
Up now, we hear again from Helen, who has some news about the Wolverhampton Skills Connect project.
Do you feel like your disability holds you back? It can be really tough trying to make your way in a world that's not geared up to meet your needs. But if you want to get on in life, Beacon can help. Whether you're after employment support or just a chance to learn new skills, we can offer free, tailored advice through the Wolverhampton Skills Connect programme. Our expert staff understand the challenges your sight loss or another disability may cause, and we're here to help. We can work with you and any potential employers to make sure that you get the support you need in the workplace. We can offer you the chance to gain valuable work experience in our digital manufacturing hub, the Fab Lab. Or we can even help with the basics like form filling or accessing benefits. We can also assist you if you're wanting to learn new IT skills, such as how to send an email. We're here to help. And because we're working in partnership with other voluntary sector organisations, if there's anything we can't do for you, then we can refer you on to some of our friends around the city. If you'd like to find out more, get in touch. Call us on 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. The Wolverhampton Skills Connect project is supported by the West Midlands Combined Authority and the UK Government through the Community Renewal Fund.
Coming up next is our final block of local news. And starting this one, we first hear from Ian.
A school trust and nine of its schools based across the West Midlands have pledged to support families of the armed forces after a special ceremony was held. Representatives from the Windsor Academy Trust and military gathered at Trinity Point in Halesowen to mark the signing of the Armed Forces Covenant. It is a sign of commitment to ensure those who serve or who have served in the armed forces and their families are treated with fairness and respect. Dawn Haywood, CEO at Windsor Academy Trust, said, "We are proud to be able to pledge our ongoing commitment to the armed forces community through the Armed Forces Covenant. This commitment will make a positive difference for the communities we serve, enhance opportunities for our students and help our schools, children and communities thrive." The ceremony was attended by Lieutenant Colonel Sam Brettle and Warrant Officer Richie Pugh from the Army's engagement team in the West Midlands, along with representatives from the West Midland Reserve Forces and Cadets Association. Ms. Haywood, Armed Forces veterans and reservists who work for Windsor Academy Trust and students from King's Wimford Academy and Windsor High School and Sixth Form all turned out for the ceremony. The Trust already employs a number of Armed Forces veterans and reservists and supports the Armed Forces through a range of activities including national events and cadet organisations. Pete Jones, an Armed Forces veteran and teacher at King's Wimford Academy, added, "The signing of the Armed Forces Covenant will provide numerous opportunities not only for our brilliant students, but also to the staff who have served, are reservists, or give their valuable time to the cadets."
The world-renowned Eton College is set to open a sixth form centre in the heart of the Black Country. The school, famous for educating 20 British Prime Ministers, including Boris Johnson, has chosen Dudley as the site for one of three proposed satellite schools as part of the government's levelling up agenda. If approved, the centre will open in 3 years' time with the aim of providing an elite-level education free of charge to talented youngsters from less affluent backgrounds. Similar centres will be opened in Middlesbrough and Oldham, which were all identified as educational cold spots on a list of areas to receive additional support. The £44,000 a year private school has partnered with Star Academies for the scheme and will bid in the next wave of the government's free school programme, with the colleges expected to welcome their first pupils by 2025. Famed for producing world leaders, the college has been in talks with Dudley Council for some time. It is part of the Department of Education's Free School Programme, a process expected to begin in the next few months, with a view to the college welcoming their first students as soon as 2025. Dudley Council leaders hailed the prospect as a critical piece of the £1 billion regeneration plan, which includes the Midland Metro extension, a light rail test track, an innovation centre, and a university campus at Castle Hill.
Park in the Black Country will play host to the biggest Christian festival to be held in the region for 3 years. Himley Park will be the setting for the Together Festival 22, a free event that aims to bring together the churches of the Black Country to reconnect with one another after lockdowns and restrictions. The event on Saturday, July the 9th, which is being organised by regeneration group Love Black Country, we'll see more than 5,000 people enjoy a range of activities at the festival, including Christian entertainment, activities, music, food, creativity and fun for all the family. Lindsay Wildsmith of Love Black Country is working to organise the festival and spoke about the length of time since the community have been able to gather in person. She said, "We've had more than 2 years of COVID lockdown and the churches haven't been able to meet en masse. And the last time we got together properly was January 2020. So the vision was always to do a big get-together again. Once we knew we could do it, we thought we might as well go big. And Himley Hall is just a beautiful park with a natural amphitheatre, as well as being central for us as a Black Country charity. Activities during the day will include different zones, including a gaming zone with video games and a football cage, a youth zone and a creative zone, a performance space in a tent with acoustic performances and workshops, and live performances on the main stage all day. The festival will be free to enter, with those attending being encouraged to make a donation when booking, as well as a request being put out to organisations for sponsorship. To find out more and to get tickets, go to loveblackcountryfestival.com.
A 24-year-old Dudley woman is excited to be heading to Buckingham Palace this year to pick up her Duke of Edinburgh Gold Award. Jasmine Pole from Kings Winford has come a long way since being born 11 weeks early in 1997, weighing only 2 pounds and 10 ounces. She was in hospital for 6 months before eventually being healthy enough to go home, but now she's trekked across the country as part of the award scheme. Jasmine said, "It's been great for confidence building. I've always tried my best, but it reinforced to me the importance of not giving up." As part of the scheme, Jasmine spent a year volunteering at a charity shop, as well as developing her baking skills and going for weekly walks across the Midlands. She also went on an expedition which involved 5 days of trekking across the Peak District. All of her efforts will be rewarded on May 16th when she goes to Buckingham Palace to collect the prestigious award. "I'm excited but a bit nervous," she said. "I just wanted to gain new skills and prove that just because you've got problems, you can still do anything you want." Jasmine has autism and dyspraxia, which she says contributes to her nerves, but has not stopped her finishing the award scheme. "In our group, we all had something like that," she said. "It really helped us to be together." Now, Jasmine has caught the charitable bug and wants to continue with her charity work. She added, "At the moment, I'm running a collection for Russell's Hall Hospital's Children's Ward, as I was born premature. But I'd like to do more charity work because I like helping people."
A bar and grill is raising cash for war-torn Ukraine as part of its Mother's Day celebrations. Canal Side in Castlecroft Road, Lower Penn, revealed new Wolverhampton-based cocktails, Wittig Warbanger, Castlecroft Collins, Wolverhampton Woohoo, Compton Politan, Munro Green Mule, and Technol Ice Tea. Owner Ravi Chopra will also change menu items for Mother's Day, Sunday, March 27th, including chicken tikka masala, naan bread and papa mums. Mr. Chopra is giving 10% of each dish sold to to either Smile for Joel and the Red Cross Emergency Ukraine appeal. Owner Ravi Chopra said, "As this is our first Mother's Day where we can really make a splash, we wanted to do something special. So we are honouring not only all the wonderful mums we know and love through some unique dishes, but also our great city with some brilliant cocktails. And we wanted to support some charities doing important work too. Susie Evans, founder of Smile for Joel, is an amazing mum who has done so much to help others, while the Red Cross is supporting mums fearing for their lives." Ravi bought the former social club just a week before the first lockdown in 2020 and has invested in a major refurbishment to bring in new custom. Smile for Joel trustee Steve Saul said, "We're very grateful for Ravi's support on this very special day. We wish him all the best with his Mother's Day treats and cocktails, and all the luck in the world for the future after such a challenging start."
Up next on this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to see that spring has sprung. Ooh, it does cheer me up with the prospect of some warmer weather and longer days, and of course putting our clocks forward later in the month. Now then, with the equinox approaching, did you know that? The word vernal, which is from the Latin meaning spring, is the official name for the spring equinox. And it tells us that our spring season is here. In the Northern Hemisphere, it's always recognised as being around the 20th of March. And as spring starts, the length of the day increases dramatically in most regions, except for the tropics, where day lengths do not change much during the course of a year. In fact, the increase is the greatest in the days surrounding the spring equinox. And after that, days are still getting longer, but at an ever-decreasing rate. On the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, the day-to-day difference reaches zero. Some organisations schedule Earth Day for March the 20th, while others observe it on April the 22nd. For some, the holiday is when people from all nations, religions and cultural backgrounds celebrate the one thing we all have in common, that is living on Earth. For others, Earth Day is observed to promote the protection of the natural environment from pollution. And spring, of course, is all about renewal and rebirth that we see in the garden and all around. The Romans had a name for this season, which was Estrus, referring to fertility and eggs, which is where the word Easter comes from, and it's no doubt why we have Easter eggs too. Here's an old English proverb that you've no doubt heard of, and that describes typical March weather. March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. In the 19th century, it was used as a prediction contingent on a year's early March weather. And here's one to look for when you're out in the countryside for a walk. It says, "A cow with its tail to the west makes the weather the best, but a cow with its tail to the east makes the weather the least." Apparently, cows prefer not to have the wind blowing in their faces, so typically stand with their backs to the wind. Since westerly winds typically mean arriving and continuing fair weather, and easterly winds usually indicate arriving or continuing unsettled weather, a cow vane is as good as any way as knowing what the weather will be up to for the next few hours. Well, who'd have thought that cows can predict the weather? I used to love my nan's weather house. Did you have one? With a little lady appearing in dry weather, and the little man would come out if it was wet. Nowadays, I rely on my bunions to decide whether to go for a brolly or not. But for now, it's hot chocolate and a Kit Kat time for me, so I'll just say keep warm and keep well, everybody. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra!
Thank you for those seasonal facts, Roger. Up now, we hand over to Ian, who asks for us the football news.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Former Liverpool player and proud Scouser Connor Cody returned to haunt his former rivals as his header handed Wolves all 3 points away at Everton. In what was a fairly poor and dull first half, Wolves failed to get into their rhythm while Everton fashioned a couple of chances without being spectacular. The biggest chance fell to Richarlison when he was sent through on goal, but José Sá made a strong and vital save. Wolves had more control and were far more comfortable on the ball in the second half, and only 4 minutes into the half, Liverpool supporter Cody gave Wolves the lead. He met a lovely Ruben Neves cross to direct a powerful header into the far corner in front of the travelling Wolves fans. Everton were desperate for a way into the game, but the home crowd became increasingly frustrated as they struggled to get a foothold. A red card for Jonjo Kenny in the 79th minute then gave the hosts an uphill battle. Wolves probed for a second goal and defended well against little resistance to secure back-to-back Premier League wins. Speaking after the game, gaffer Bruno Lage said, "The players did everything we planned. We know it's a tough stadium to play in and a tough team with big experience, but we came with a good plan. We knew that a team like that, after they lose 5-0, will come in the beginning to have a good answer in front of their fans, like we did against Watford. We were holding on a little bit in the first 20 minutes. We were there, together, compact, solid, and after that the game was more calm and we controlled it. Wolves next welcome a struggling Leeds side to Molineux this Friday." Late goals from Carlin, Grant and Andy Carroll saw Albion come from behind to snatch a draw against Huddersfield in a thrilling encounter at the Hawthorns last Saturday. The high-flying Terriers, who entered the game on a 16-match unbeaten run, were 2-0 up with just 6 minutes to play thanks to two Danny Ward strikes, with Sam Johnston making errors for both goals. And with time running out, it looked as though the visitors would go on and secure a comfortable and deserved victory. But Albion were awarded a penalty when Sauber Thomas was somewhat harshly judged to have produced a high foot on Alex Mowat. Against his former side, Carlin Grant tucked away the resultant penalty. And just 60 seconds later, substitute Andy Carroll pulled the baggies level when he headed home a semi-Ajayi cross. Incredibly, the dramatic comeback then almost got even better, with Grant then going on to hit the bar in the 90th minute. However, on Tuesday, Albion produced an outstanding display to secure a deserved victory over Championship leaders Fulham. The two teams, who were both relegated from the Premier League last season, entered the game having undergone very different experiences since returning to the second tier. Fulham arrived at the Hawthorns sitting top of the table and having scored a staggering 90 goals. Albion, meanwhile, were languishing in 14th spot with their promotion hopes appearing to have gone up in smoke following a dreadful run of form from December through to February. In front of a passionate home crowd, however, the Baggies turned the form book on its head. Steve Bruce's side dominated the first half and created a series of glorious chances to open the scoring. And while they had to remain patient, they finally got the goal their performance deserved when Callum Robinson netted shortly past the hour mark. From that point, they had to dig deep to keep Fulham at bay, but they did it brilliantly, with this Albion's best performance for months. The Baggies next have a trip to Ashton Gate as they take on Bristol City on Saturday.
Sticking with a sporting theme, we next hear from RNIB and their See Sport Differently campaign.
For the first year after losing my sight, I just sat at home watching TV.
Sport without sight? That's not possible, is it?
Wrong. Sport got me out of a dark place.
I had to work really hard.
And I got more adrenaline.
So it hurt less.
In my sport,
people see my determination.
Not my disability.
I'm the only blind rower at my club.
It's about the mental attitude to say,
I can do this.
I can do this.
I can do this.
I can do this.
There's no such thing as a non-sporty person.
It's just about finding the right sport for you.
Blind and partially sighted people are twice as likely to be inactive. We want to change this. Find out how you can get involved. Search RNIB, See Sport Differently. In partnership with British Blind Sport, funded by Sport England and the National Lottery.
How's the weather going to be for the week ahead? Well, now's the time to find out, as we hand over to Mina, who has the weather for us.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly dry and sunny, perfect for getting in the garden and sorting things out for the year ahead. Temperatures for the week will be hovering around 13 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 6:07 a.m. for the sunrise and 6:25 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday, 18th of March, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 15 degrees. Saturday, 19th of March, will be sunny with a gentle breeze and we'll see a maximum temperature of 14 degrees. And for Sunday, 20th of March, all the way through to Thursday, 24th of March, we will have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. So, that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Cheers for that, Mina. Sounds like I can get out in the garden then. Up now, we have another edition of Sounds of Nature. Herring gull is a familiar sight of our seaside towns, particularly during the breeding season. In winter, it can be found on farmland, wetland, and on coastal habitats, as well as inland landfill sites, playing fields, and reservoirs throughout the UK. The distinctive red spot on its bill spurred one of the classic studies in animal behaviour in the 1950s, led by Nico Tinbergen. Having seen gull chicks peck at their parents' bills to encourage them to regurgitate food, he tried various dummy, parent shapes and colours to see the chicks' response. He discovered that gull chicks would peck at any long yellow thing with a red spot in order to get food. In other words, gull chicks have a built-in preference from birth for their parents' bills, which is a worthwhile survival mechanism. This recording was made by Lawrence Shove and was made available by the British Library. We now hand over to Mina, who reveals this week's quiz answers.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. What is the other name for the spring equinox? And the answer? The vernal equinox. Question 2. Around what date is the spring equinox each year? And the answer here is around 20th of March. Question 3. What do some organisations uphold on the 20th of March? And the answer here is Earth Day. Question 4. According to folklore, what animals appear in the rhyme about March? And the answer here is, of course, lion and lamb. Question 5. What did the Romans call spring? And the answer here is estrus. Question 6. What is it said that cows don't like? And the answer here is to face the wind. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a sewing machine. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have some facts and myths about St. Patrick's Day.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Anne with some facts about the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day. These are taken from the website history.com. Who was the real St. Patrick? Was that legend about the snakes true? And why did so many St. Patrick's Day traditions start in America? While St. Patrick's Day is now associated with wearing green, parades, when they're not cancelled, and beer, the holiday is grounded in history that dates back more than 1,500 years. The earliest known celebration was held on March 17, 1631, marking the anniversary of the death of St. Patrick in the 5th century. The real St. Patrick was born in Britain. Much of what is known about St. Patrick's life has been interwoven with folklore and legend. Historians generally believe that St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, was born in Britain, not Ireland, near the end of the 4th century. At age 16, he was kidnapped by Irish raiders and sold as a slave to a Celtic priest in Northern Ireland. After toiling for 6 years as a shepherd, he escaped back to Britain. He eventually returned to Ireland as a Christian missionary. There were no snakes around for St. Patrick to banish from Ireland. Among the legends associated with St. Patrick is that he stood atop an Irish hillside and banished snakes from Ireland, prompting all serpents to slither away into the sea. In fact, research suggests snakes never occupied the Emerald Isle in the first place. There are no signs of snakes in the country's fossil record, and water has surrounded Ireland since the last glacial period. Before that, the region was covered in ice and would have been too cold for the reptiles. Leprechauns are likely based on Celtic fairies. The red-haired, green-clothed leprechaun is commonly associated with St. Patrick's Day. The original Irish name for these figures of folklore is Lobachin, meaning small-bodied fellow. Belief in leprechauns likely stems from Celtic belief in fairies, tiny men and women who could use their magical powers to serve good or evil. In Celtic folk tales, leprechauns were cranky souls, responsible for mending the shoes of the other fairies. The shamrock was considered a sacred plant. The shamrock, a three-leaf clover, has been associated with Ireland for centuries. It was called the Shimroi by the Celts and considered a sacred plant that symbolised the arrival of spring. According to legend, St. Patrick used the plant as a visual guide when explaining the Holy Trinity. By the 17th century, the shamrock had become a symbol of emerging Irish nationalism. The first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in America. While people in Ireland had celebrated St. Patrick since the 1600s, the tradition of a St. Patrick's Day parade began in America and actually predates the founding of the United States. Records show that a St. Patrick's Day parade was held on March 17, 1601, in a Spanish colony in what is now St. Augustine, Florida. The parade and a St. Patrick's Day celebration a year earlier were organised by the Spanish colony's Irish vicar, Ricardo Artur. More than a century later, homesick Irish soldiers serving in the English military marched in Boston in 1737 and in New York City on March 17th. Enthusiasm for the St. Patrick's Day parades in New York City, Boston, and other early American cities only grew from there. In 2020, parades throughout the country, including the New York City and Boston, were cancelled or postponed for the first time in decades due to the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. The Irish were once scorned in America. While Irish Americans are now proud to showcase their heritage, the Irish were not always celebrated by fellow Americans. Beginning in 1845, a devastating potato blight caused widespread hunger throughout Ireland. While approximately 1 million perished, another 2 million abandoned their land in the largest single population movement of the 19th century. Most of the exiles, nearly a quarter of the Irish nation, came to the shores of the United States. Once they arrived, the Irish refugees were looked down upon as disease-ridden, unskilled, and a drain on welfare budgets. Corned beef and cabbage was an American innovation. The meal that became a St. Patrick's Day staple across the country, corned beef and cabbage, was an American innovation. While ham and cabbage were eaten in Ireland, corned beef offered a cheaper substitute for impoverished immigrants. Irish Americans, Living in the slums of Lower Manhattan in the late 19th century and early 20th century, purchased leftover corned beef from ships returning from the tea trade in China. The Irish would boil the beef three times, the last time with cabbage, to remove some of the brine.
DNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!